One of the speakers at this year's Angus Means Business Convention in Overland Park, Kansas, Michelle Payne Canoper, agricultural advocate, a dairy producer from the state of Indiana, and always a delight to visit with her about what's going on and trying to tell the story of agriculture to today's consumer. And she's had the opportunity to get around to a lot of meetings in recent days, telling agricultural producers, FFA members, and more how to get the story out.
How do we really get our arms around giving a thoughtful response to some of the crazy things that we seem to be hearing these days?
Well, Ron, I think the best way that we can give a thoughtful response is to make sure it's not just a response, that we're actually out there talking before the issues hit the frying pan, if you will. So, for example, in my audience as an FFA and up in Saskatoon yesterday and here today with Angus, I talk about if you weren't complaining about Subway a month ago, if you weren't talking to Subway about why you're using antibiotics, or if you weren't talking to others about why we do, in fact, use antibiotics to protect our animals because it's the right thing to do as far as animal welfare, then you probably shouldn't be complaining when the decisions like that are made. The reality is, we all know it, there's a great deal of pressures that are on production agriculture today, particularly animal agriculture, when it comes to a number of these issues. So to me, it's about proactive response rather than defensive response, which we seem to excel at in agriculture. And don't get me wrong, I'm a farm girl. I believe in what we do. I love farmers. I absolutely know that we are doing the right thing. But the reality is we can't wait till tomorrow to tell our story. If you're not out there sharing images, shaking hands, doing something simple today, I ask people for 15 minutes and no more food fights a day on telling their story. But if you're not doing that today, then don't complain tomorrow.
Several pressure points right now as far as issues. You mentioned one, antibiotics. That really one of the hot topics for animal agriculture right now.
They sure are. Antibiotics, hormones, and then if you look across the entire business, biotechnology is obviously a hot issue. So I think you need to be prepared to talk about why we do use antibiotics and sometimes make it very simple for people. You do not have to be an expert in antibiotic resistance. The fact is that there is antibiotic resistance in this country. That's irrefutable, but where it comes from is where the big question mark is. What I do is to relate to people as a mom. You know, I'm not only a Holstein breeder, I'm a mom first and foremost. And so when I'm talking with other women, I relate to them as a mom instead of just as a farmer. And I would encourage a lot of people to make sure that they're relating to people on a human level, not just as a cattle rancher, but on a human level, so that they know that, one, they're a reliable source, two, that they care, and three, it gives them the opportunity to be able to share some of their practices. For example, I was in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago and was having a debate with someone about the necessity of using antibiotics in cows with mastitis. I asked the audience if any of them had ever had mastitis, and several women put their hands up. It's very painful. It's very hard on a body, and the same is true in cows. And while cows certainly are not humans, I cannot, in good faith, as an animal caretaker, not treat my cows if they have mastitis. Likewise, you know, if a beef calf has an infection, you need to treat them and take care of them. So I think it's just helping people understand why we have the practices that we have today, and then taking that to the other side of the plate and looking at the protocol that USDA and FDA have in place. There's been a number of studies that show people do not understand the withholding periods and the times that are necessary for people to withhold the animal from the food system, whether it's milk or meat, for a period of time. So it's really important that I think we continue to reiterate those messages and also understand that people maybe don't have faith in the government today, unfortunately. But if we can help them understand why we are utilizing the practices that we are in producing safe food for them to enjoy, that hopefully that will help us get our arms around the issue a bit more.
Still, I think we're still seeing surveys that seem to relate to the fact that USDA, FDA, our U.S. agencies still have a fair amount of respect by consumers. They do trust what they're doing.
Well, I sure hope so. It's a little frustrating when you look out at the anti-big business, the anti-government, the anti-everything. You know, I have a small business. I'm a business owner. I have a family business. A family farm is still represents 95% plus of our farm family businesses today. And I was just working with some FFA teachers, the advisors, last week, and helping them think about just because somebody has a corporate logo on them, does that mean that their ethics change? My ethics don't change with a paycheck. And likewise, I think when you look at FDA and USDA, there's been a lot of work done to be sure that the protocol are in place, that the systems are there to not only have the very specific measurements around antibiotics and or hormones, but also in the research end of the product. So sure, people, in the large part, are still trusting of those entities, but we also have to understand that there's folks out there that won't trust them.
It's almost a continuous stream of things that are going on, whether it's Whole Foods, whether it's Chipotle. We've got people that really want to market at the expense of farmers and ranchers.
We sure do, and it's hard for us not to take it personal. You know, I just had an incident on Facebook with a fellow professional speaking friend the other day who posted an offensive image of animals, and I took it very personally because it is personal to us. So I would really urge the farmers and ranchers that are out there listening to maybe realize that people are not asking these questions to be personally insulting to you. They do not understand that our practices in farming and ranching are a part of our person. The rest of the population, the 98.5% of the population that's not on a farm ranch, don't understand that. We have to go to where they are. And so, sure, there's any number of issues that are coming down the pike, but I still believe at the end of the day, humans connect with humans. And if we can relate to them on a human basis and at least plant a question mark about the claims that are being made by activists and by other organizations, then we have the opportunity to have the conversation with the American public. But if we're not being proactive and we don't create that question mark, then we lose our right to farm as we best see fit.
Wrap things up. You mentioned the 15 minutes that you'd like for folks to engage. You'll challenge, I'm sure, these folks here at the Angus Convention about that. What do they do? How does a guy that maybe never really done much with social media or in that type of, you know, proactive stance, what do they do?
Well, it's pretty simple, and this is to basically summarize what my daughter figured out when she was 6 years old and took her friends out to the barn and introduced them to her heifer that was going to give milk someday and made them thank the heifer, and then went to the steer's pen and made them thank that steer for giving his life to give them meat. You talk about what you love with who you love, and it really is as simple as that. And I know for the guys out there that probably sounds incredibly corny, but at the end of the day, if you want to protect your right to use antibiotics, if you want to protect your right to treat your animals as you best see fit as the expert on animal welfare, and if you want to protect your farm and ranch's future, then we have to talk about what we love with who we love. So specifically, it's about having a conversation in the church parking lot about how you treated animals and why you treated them. It's about posting a photo on Instagram of a newborn calf, and it's about getting on Facebook and maybe shooting a quick video clip, or maybe it's putting out a tweet sharing about what you do and why you do it and what the result is for the consumer. Because so often we try to relate to it from only a farm or ranch perspective. And when we have people that are 3 to 4 generations removed from the farm, it's impossible for them to stand in our shoes. So we have to go to where they are and really be able to relate with them. We certainly don't lack the tools. Perhaps we lack the time. But again, this is about investing in your future and all of our future in agriculture.
How about passion?
It is indeed, and I would urge you to share the passion that you have when you're mad about the World Health Organization, Chipotle, PETA, HSUS, and all of the other negatives out there, to harness that passion, if you will, and put it to work in a proactive way rather than waiting to react.